Well, the SARB has lifted interest rates by 25 basis points, bringing the repo rate to 3.75% this time round. Not a unanimous decision from the MPC. Governor Lesetse Kgenyago highlighting that the risks to the inflation outlook remains on the upside, while growth's been revised downwards for this year following the impact of July's civil unrest and the return, of course, of load shedding. Martin Ackerman, who's chief economist at Citadel, joins us now to discuss the timing of the move and its potential impact on the economy moving forward. Thanks so much, Martin, for your time this evening. Let's get straight into it, because like I say, we had people very divided on what was going to come into play, and the MPC itself seemingly enough. What has come through is a 25 basis point hike, warranted because it's in a context of, you know, minor changes to core inflationary projections, but broad inflationary risk, and then GDP and those projections slightly lower.
Yeah, Alicia, I think the Reserve Bank is between a rock and a hard place, to be honest. They focus on inflation, that's their mandate. But if we also look at what's been happening around the world, a lot of the our peer group, other emerging markets, already started tightening. We know that the Fed started this month in terms of tapering. So at some point, irrespective of what's happening with our own inflation and economy, if we're not going to keep that differential with the US and also start tightening again from a very historic low base, you know, the Rand can just run away in terms of weakening much further. So I think part of today's decision was looking not only at the current inflation, which, to be honest, is not a major issue yet, but it's also looking at future inflation expectations. So we know that there's globally a lot of supply issues that's bubbling up. We know that the oil price is higher. We know that the Rand is weakening as we speak. So inflation might be an issue, you know, 6-12 months down the line. And I think this was the first small step towards saying we need to address this going forward. 100% agree with you. If you look at the weakness in the economy and also looking at the potential growth in the economy for the next 3 years, one could probably argue that, you know, the economy can still, you know, deal with a lower interest rate at this point in time.
Yeah. Just how much inflationary risk, Martin, are you pricing in at this stage? And have we moved beyond inflation being considered transitory?
Yeah, so I think that that's also different whether you're talking about the global environment and our own environment. But I think right now everyone's battling with supply issues, and that is definitely pushing inflation higher around the globe. You know, for me, this is very different from the 1970s, where we had a supply shock, mainly oil-related, and something that we couldn't address and fix overnight. The current supply issues that we are dealing with, we know, is as a result of the lockdowns. We had factories that's been closed. Now factories are open again. Consumers are back in the shops. There's a huge demand. So after we've basically restocked, we sorted out the bottlenecks, like all the ships that's sitting in the harbor in San Francisco, you know, we can solve this supply constraint over the next 6-12 months. So I think it's definitely not going to be a longer term issue, but for the next 2-3 years, we are definitely going to see inflation that we haven't been used to over the last couple of years. And being part of the global economy, that is definitely also going to impact South Africa. And I think that was one of the risks that the governor alluded to today, to say, well, we need to be probably proactive. I think that is what they are doing at the moment. Maybe as we stand today, the first hike, or having lift off today, wasn't really necessary, but it's a small step, trying to be proactive in terms of what might pan out over the next 12 to 18 months.
Yeah, part of the incentive, Martin, is because emerging market currencies like South African Rand rely on carry trade appeal very much. You know, it's very much been in focus for us. I want to home in on some of the Rand reaction that came into play today, because weakness nevertheless filtering through. So certainly, unlike what we saw in Turkey, but weakness nevertheless. So, you know, how do you explain that, and what's your outlook as far as the Rand is concerned and that potential Rand weakness risk coming into play more so?
Yeah, to be honest, you know, one would think, if you think about it fundamentally, if we hike interest rates, in other words, we make the carry more attractive, we offer higher yields versus the US, then that should actually be supportive in terms of the Rand. And that's not what we've seen today. You know, after this announcement, the rand actually slipped quite a bit. And I think part of that is more in terms of the general message today to say, well, you know, the economy is struggling with a lot of things. We've got the electricity issues that we're dealing with. The governor alluded to the unrest that we had in July, the lack of business confidence, the fact that we're in a weak growth environment. So it's almost adding all those structural issues together to say, well, you know what? The economy is going to struggle to actually get to sustainable growth longer term. And I think that was more that drove the rand instead of just the inflation and interest rate environment. It is that whole concern about whether we are going to see the reforms that we need to actually get the economy going. So it wasn't just related to inflation and interest rates.
So let's look at that growth forecast then, because it has seen that forecast has dipped back slightly from 5.3%, but it's still at 5.2%. Is this a realistic growth expectation to have?
Yeah, I think for this year, we're definitely going to see 5% plus. We obviously need to see that in perspective. That is coming off as very, very low base, number one. Number two, we had very good tailwinds during 2021. You know, the global economy opening up, our exports doing exceptionally well, mining benefiting from that. The sad reality is that give and take, you know, it was mainly the mining sector and also agriculture that contributed to that very strong growth. A lot of other parts of the economy is still pretty much flat and not really contributing. And that's part of the reason why they say, well, remove those from the equation going into next year and the year thereafter, and then we fall back to, you know, an average of about 1.7% growth.
Absolutely. And that's what's glaring, right? 1.7% growth in 2022, 1.8% growth expectation for 2023. This all coming through, and we're anticipating to hear or expecting to hear from credit rating agencies tomorrow, Martin. How do you see them having digested this, and what are you expecting there?
Yeah, I think for now the credit rating agencies will give us, you know, a little more time. Going back to last week's medium-term budget, you know, the message was very clear that we are going to stay prudent, we are going to stay cautious, we're not going to overspend. A lot of the windfall that we had this year is going to use for the right measures. So given the message from government and from Treasury, so that we want to make sure that we don't overspend, we get the debt under control, and we reduce the primary budget deficit. That is the right message still for the rating agencies. Time will tell whether we'll get there. So I think for now, they will give us the time to actually show that we are moving in the right direction. But we need, you know, another year or two before they can actually make that decision.
Absolutely. Well, let's leave it there, Martin. Thanks so much for having joined us on the line this evening. That, of course, Martin Ackerman, who's chief economist at Citadel.